Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't have a game without a tailgate party.
Perfect. There you go.
The Wake Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wake Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
The Wake Ford Tailgate Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcons game day, Wake Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wake Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. 1 o'clock hour, normally kickoff of most Falcons games, but today, 4:05 kickoff. John and Joe, John Fricke, Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider, taking you to 2 o'clock, and when we will join the Falcons Radio Network coverage, pregame show with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson. 4:05 kick in Denver today with Wes and Dave, and of course a reminder back here on 92.9 The Game after the game for the Falcons flyover, hosted by Rob Tribble. If you are looking for the Hawks today, Hawks play a road game against the Blazers in Portland. Coverage of that game will begin at 5:30 this evening and will be on our sister station, V103. So the Hawks will be, the Hawks Blazers game will be on V103. The injury report is brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder, now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. So, Joe, I'm going to give you the floor for the next 35 minutes to go over the Falcons injury report. And, boy, we need this bye week so, so badly.
Yeah, you can take a break, John. Go catch the kickoffs happening right now for the 1 o'clock games, and we'll be back to you. Now, I guess if there is any good news is that we have finality on whether players are going to be out or playing. There's nobody questionable for the Falcons. And there is some more better, slightly good news, but we'll get to that after the bad news here, which is all the players who are out this week, first starting at linebacker, J.D. Bertrand going to miss another game dealing with a concussion. Troy Anderson will also miss today. That's a big loss for this Falcons team. They were really optimistic about getting him back. They did get him back last week for the Saints game, but only played about 10 or so snaps and re-aggravated, apparently, that knee issue that he had been dealing with previously. So they're going to sit him down. They've got a bye week coming up next week, obviously, so I figure that plays into this to an extent. The fact that they know that these guys who are going to be out will get 2 weeks, but Falcons will be without J.D. Bertrand and Troy Anderson at linebacker. It gets really ugly at cornerback here. Dee Alford going to miss with a hamstring. Antonio Hamilton going to miss with a pec, and then Mike Hughes, the starting corner opposite A.J. Terrell, is going to miss with a neck injury. That's a little bit concerning. He had a significant neck injury when he was in college that nearly ended his career, from what I heard. Hopefully it's not that bad, but all three of those players are going to miss this game, so they're going to dig into some of their practice squad to fill out, not just, you know, I'm sure Clark Phillips will start this today opposite A.J., but, you know, these guys from the practice squad are going to be getting plenty of playing time, considering teams are in nickel about 80% of the snaps. That's not all for the injured Falcons. On the defensive line, they've also got issues. Taquan Graham and James Smith Williams have both been placed on IR. Taquan Graham has a pec injury, and if he's getting placed on IR with a pec, that likely means that he's done for the year, although we don't have that confirmed. James Smith Williams dealing with what is termed a lower leg injury, also going to miss at least 4 games. And then another kind of, you know, big injury here is Charlie Warner, who's going to be out with a concussion that he suffered last week against the Saints. He's been a key in springing Bijan for a lot of these big runs. Obviously didn't play as much last week because he, you know, got hurt, but big miss to not have him. We saw his value in games like against the Panthers, especially, where Zach Robinson really found a way to move him in motion and utilize him as a blocker. So that's a lot of injuries for this Falcons team that does not need to deal with them. There is a glimmer or a little bit of good news, and that is they are returning some players that were injured. Lorenzo Carter has been activated to the team from injured reserve. He was dealing with concussion. Not certain if he's going to actually play yet today, but if they activated him, then that would, you know, speak, you know, that would put that in good stead that he will play. Drew Dahlman will play. He will be back at center as well. Thought thought that might happen last week, but it will happen this week. And there will be, you know, he will be the team starting center. No kind of a position battle with him and Ryan Neuzel there. And then Natrone Brooks has been signed from the practice squad, not an elevation, but a full signing. That means that he'll be with this team for the foreseeable future, playing in this secondary. He'll probably be the nickelback today. And then they've also elevated Dane Cruikshank, the safety, and defensive end Khalid Kareem, who actually had a pretty good game against the Saints last week in his first regular season action for the Falcons off the practice squad last week. So, man, that is not the situation you want to face this time of year. And it's crazy considering that the injury report was looking relatively good when we were doing this time last week. And then on the opposite side of that for the Broncos, it's actually pretty clean. Really, the only player of significance that they'll be missing this week is Josh Reynolds, who's out with a finger. So they've pretty much got, you know, most of the players that they rely on to lead them to success. So it's going to be a tough one for the Falcons.
Yeah, going to be tough in any regard. Denver's a very difficult place to play as well. You can stay tuned for the Ticketmaster halftime show coming up during the game, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Loud. The weather's going to be nice, which is good. We talked about that earlier because the weather in Denver can be really squirrely with not only high winds but swirling winds, and you don't need that when you got a kicker issue like apparently the Falcons may have at the moment here. So for the Falcons, yeah, you can make a case that, and somebody brought this up, that sometimes we get caught up as fans in name value of players, when in fact, when you bring a player sometimes off the practice squad, you could have a player who's obviously, you know, healthy versus healthy is a better player. You know, player A is a known quantity. He's a better player than player B. But player B comes in, player A is playing at 75-80%. Player B comes in at 100%, mm-hmm. and those fresh legs make a big difference in a game. And that's, as somebody said in New Orleans last week, one of the reasons that the Saints were able to get, you know, to the Falcons is that they had so many players with fresh legs that they, you know, were flying around at full speed.
That's a great point. It's a great point. And especially, you know, it certainly showed up in that Saints secondary last week where they had a bunch of injuries and they traded Marshawn Lattimore and they had guys step up and were really, they're playing tight man coverage against this Falcons receivers and doing really well. So that is a good point. And with a guy, you know, like Natrone Brooks, I don't know if many people know who he is, but he's a guy who's really the last couple of years has been on this team's practice squad and just kind of one of those right on the bubble of making the roster, coming out of training camp type of guys. A lot of people thought he would make this team this year again. He had a big preseason game. I forget who it was. It was the second game they played. I think it was the Ravens. They played a preseason game against the Ravens this year where I think Natrone Brooks had like 17 tackles or something crazy. Yeah, he's a physical guy. Will get involved, athletic. So, yeah, we'll see if he can step up and fill the shoes today.
1 o'clock games are now underway in the NFL, and we'll update you once we get some scores coming in on those games here. Back to the kind of the stats here, and let's go to that Denver defense. This is the Denver defense, okay? This is what the Falcons are up against today. Denver is fifth in the NFL in yards allowed. They're fourth in the NFL in points allowed, under 18 points a game. They're second in the sacks in the entire league with 35. You mentioned, Joe, 35 to the 9 for Atlanta. Atlanta's got 9 sacks all year long and, of course, last in the NFL. When it comes to individual sacks, the two linebackers, Jonathan Cooper, 6.5 sacks. Nick Bonito has 7 sacks, the former Oklahoma star. So you got two linebackers. One has 7 sacks. One has 6.5 sacks. John Franklin Myers has had a big year, too, at the edge. So those two linebackers trying to contain Cooper and Bonito from shooting the gaps because they like to blitz and use those two linebackers to get after the quarterback, which I'm sure they're going to do today here. Mm-hmm. But that means, too, that they'll be vacating. So that's why I think that, especially without Charlie Warner, this is a game where Kyle Pitts is going to have to you know, get off chips and get into the middle of the field and make some catches in the middle of the field and into the spots where those linebackers vacate.
Yeah, that's a good call with Kyle Pitts. And for a similar reason, I think that I was talking about Bijan earlier in the show, talking about him just kind of being a check down option. But yeah, it certainly feels like it could be one of those games for Kyle where he needs to be more of that short yardage, short route type of receiver who can, you know, find somewhere to sit down if it's a zone blitz or run like a stick route and get away from somebody in man coverage. But there should be space for him to operate in some of those areas if they're bringing those edge rushers as often as they do and as much as they like to do. The interesting thing with the Broncos is that they'll bring five a lot, but they very rarely bring more than that. Like they won't, they hardly ever like heavy blitz like you might see like Brian Flores do, for example. But they will have a nice mix of, yeah, those edge rushers coming off, those outside linebackers coming off as blitzers. So Falcons got to be prepared for, I should say Kirk Cousins has to be prepared to be pressured in this game and have a plan for what to do when that happens, because he just does not have the athleticism to get out of the pocket. And certainly you don't want to see him try to move and kind of put the ball out in an exposed area where it can get knocked away. Frankly, against the Saints, it was happening. It was getting knocked out of his hand. And I think that sometimes, especially when you're going up against a really solid Broncos defense like this, you got to kind of prioritize just taking your loss and moving on to the next down instead of it getting worse and then facing some sort of catastrophic issue that can really throw the whole game off the rails.
Just to update you again, we will be updating you on the 1 o'clock games that are currently underway. The Packers took the opening kick in Soldier Field, went right down the field on the Chicago Bears. Jordan Love throws a touchdown pass, and the Packers take an early lead 3.5 minutes into the game, 7-0 over the Chicago Bears. So a little bit of pressure on the Bears early in that game. There was a poll taken. I mentioned earlier, Joe, that we scour the blogs and the media out of our opponents. There was a poll taken after the tough loss to the Kansas City Chiefs the other day, and, you know, do you still think the Broncos are going in the right direction? And this poll had tens of thousands of responses. 91% of Broncos fans, 91%, say that the franchise is headed in the right direction. Now, I want to keep that in kind of perspective here.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons fans may, you know, been around a while, you know this. Falcons fans may not know this. Some new Falcons fans may not know this. Of course, we lost to the Broncos in the first Super Bowl that we played, right? Not to mention anybody's initials, Eugene Robinson, but we remember that game. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos are a proud franchise, won multiple Super Bowls, been to multiple Super Bowls with multiple quarterbacks. It wasn't just John Elway. I mean, it goes back to Craig Morton. It goes back a long way in this, you know, goes back to Floyd Little in the AFL days. This is a proud franchise with a lot of history that has a fan base that has been rather spoiled. And over the kind of downfall of the Broncos over the few years kind of leading up to the return of Sean Payton here, there was a lot of grumbling in Denver about what the hell was going on with the franchise. And now you get a poll that says 91% saying that it's going in the right direction for a fan base that is as demanding as the Broncos fan base. Then they're on to something here. I mean, they're on to the fact that they think that they are, it may not happen this year, but next year they think they're close to being able to return to glory.
Yeah, and they should be, because honestly, the road's going to get easier for them going forward when they have more money to spend. I mean, if you think about where the Broncos are right now, it's kind of similar to the cap situation that the Falcons were in a couple years ago, and at that point the Falcons were deep in a rebuild. They didn't have a quarterback. They had Marcus Mariota starting for them. They had a patchwork defense with, you know, a couple kind of key cornerstone players like a Grady Jarrett and so forth, but not having the kind of success that this Broncos defense is having. And so I think that's what Broncos fans got to be so excited about, is it feels like you've got the building blocks in place to, you know, really, really get better. And it's going to be fun for them, I think, because I think what you're going to see this Broncos team, you know, spend their capital on, whether it's draft or, you know, in free agent money, is, you know, on these fun skill position players. I think the last piece of the puzzle is putting, you know, the running backs and the receivers around Bo Nix to try to make this offense more explosive and allow Sean Payton to kind of work his magic there and pick the guys that he wants. So certainly exciting times for that organization. And yeah, when you just look at their defensive stats, they're just top five in almost everything, whether it's points per game, yards per play, EPA per play allowed, you know, just the pressures, the sacks, the pressure rate, just all this stuff is among the best in the NFL. And so and you got to give so much credit, by the way, I can't believe we haven't mentioned his name yet, but their defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, when we was up there this week just talking to the coaches and players, I don't know if there's a coach they have more respect for around the NFL than this guy, because he is clearly devising what is a very, very good defense. And guys like Raheem Morris, guys who have experience in this league, can say it just jumps off the tape just how good they are schematically at what they do and how well they execute it. So certainly everything in place there for them to be good for a long time now.
Well, that's good. Maybe we could show it to Jimmy Lake and say, hey, Jimmy... Yeah, Vance Joseph, of course, you know, was kind of derided as a head coach, but he's one of those guys that may just be a great coordinator. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, let's see what happens here today. We'll talk about what it's going to take to win here in Denver today as we continue the countdown to kickoff between the Falcons and the Broncos. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't have a game without a tailgate party.
Perfect. There you go.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
4:05 kick in Denver, Colorado. Mile High Stadium today. Falcons and Broncos. By the way, the smell that you just wafted over you was the Saints scoring first against the Browns. Just want to let you know that. We'll update you on the 1 o'clock games coming up in about 20 minutes or so here. What it takes to win. What it takes to win is brought to you by Motlick and Associates. When winning is everything, you call Motlick Injury Attorneys at #WIN, #WIN. That's #946. I hope we can pound a win today, because you use it right before the bye here as you go to Denver. One of the things true, Joe Patrick, about the Falcons here is that they have managed to step up to the challenge. It's a little bit frustrating. They've sort of risen and fallen to the level of their opponent, and let's hope that they do so today, because I get a sense that there are some Falcons fans who may not realize just how difficult this game is going to be.
Yeah, we've talked about it so far in the show, but the Broncos are 2-point favorites in this game, and Vegas doesn't, you know, do this stuff because they, you know, feel like it. Like, there's a reason why they have the Broncos favored, and it's for a lot of the reasons we've been talking about really these last couple segments with the Broncos defense and everything, the home field advantage they've got in that stadium, the altitude, frankly, that they're accustomed to dealing with that other teams aren't. We haven't talked about that aspect of it yet, but that's also kind of an element that plays into, you know, traveling to Denver to play. So just one of those games, and especially you've got a bye week on the horizon, and I'm interested to see what this Falcons team looks like in the context of that. Like, are they ready to play? Because it felt like that game against the Saints last week, it felt like they came into it and they were sluggish, and the Saints were the first ones to kind of throw the punch at them, and eventually the Falcons responded. But I don't think Raheem Morris or that coaching staff was happy with the way that the Falcons looked just physically coming into that game. And again, with that bye week coming up next week, you don't want guys kind of already thinking about it. You want them to finish this thing out strong, and that starts, you know, from the get-go, from the opening snap. And I know that that's been a focus for this Falcons coaching staff. Apparently Jimmy Lake had a kind of a specialty presentation to this effect in the team meeting this week, where he had, you know, showed them clips of certain things. They weren't very specific with it. They didn't want to kind of reveal exactly what it was, but, you know, some clips of fighters, you know, throwing the first punch and like having a good start. That's definitely going to be a focus for this team today, and they certainly need it against what is going to be just a huge test going to Denver.
Yeah, the altitude is something that people don't seem to understand if they've never been to altitude in Denver. And yes, the oxygen level, it does affect you, and it does affect how far things travel as well. You go mm-hmm. play golf in Denver, suddenly you're like, hey, man, yep. Look at me.
Hydration.
Exactly, all those things. It's worse. I'll tell you, the worst place was Wyoming, because Denver's a mile high, right? 5,270, mm-hmm. whatever, right? Wyoming is 2,000 feet above that in Laramie.
Oh, wow.
And first time I went to Laramie for a game, there's a big sign as you walk into the sports complex there with the War Memorial Stadium and the basketball stadium, and it says, welcome to 7,220 feet. And and back in those days, like, I don't know if they've done it or not, there was no elevator to get up to the press box. You had to walk up the side of the so we're walking up to, you know, we're carrying stuff. We got about halfway up. I had to stop. It was mm-hmm. like, oh, I could feel
it. Feeling every bit of that 7,000 some odd feet. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, the other thing, and you mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but we haven't really talked about it since, and talking about what we want to see today, is in this kicking game, you want to see Younghoe Koo come back and make some kicks. And then the other thing, on the other side of it, and I put this out this week because I was thinking about it, and I just went and box score by box score and counted, and sure enough, the Falcons' opponents are a perfect 24 of 24 on field goals this season. So it'll be nice to see their opponent miss one today. That includes perfect 9 of 9 on 50-plus yarders, which is that's unfortunate.
Man. And when it comes to the red zone, now to take a little bit of away from Koo here, the Falcons are smack in the middle of the NFL when it comes to red zone touchdowns. They get in the red zone 55% of the time they score a touchdown. Okay, that's smack in the middle of the NFL. Oh, they've got a touchdown. No, they're just smack in the middle. Mm-hmm. They're as average can get, 16 out of 32 teams when it comes to touchdowns scored when they are in the red zone, which frankly is an improvement over the last few years, but still not good enough. So, it's going to be incumbent upon those guys when they do get into the red zone. You got to get six, not three.
Yeah, that's for sure. And guess what, John? The Denver Broncos are top five in the NFL in touchdowns allowed per game. They're actually technically sixth overall in touchdowns allowed, but they haven't had their bye week where the other teams above them have. So once again, just to add to the list of these kind of numbers that the Broncos have going for them in their favor, they don't make it easy for you. And it's going to be very difficult to score touchdowns, but you got to do it. And that was the point that Kirk Cousins was saying after that Saints game is that, for as much as I'm sure as he loves Younghoe Koo and all the kickers that he's ever played with as a quarterback and as an offensive player and a leader, like you want to score touchdowns and really drive that point home and put those points on the board. And certainly they could use that today, especially early. It would definitely help this team to be playing from a lead as opposed to trying to crawl your way back from behind with these edge rushers and the Denver Broncos' second best pass rush unit going against you.
Wait for it, Tailgate Show brought to you in part by Orchard. Sell your home and get paid twice. Learn how at orchard.com. Back to the altitude. Now, everybody knows if you're a baseball fan that the Colorado Rockies, they would use a humidifier back in the day. I mean, the ball just flies a little bit farther there. Golfers know it. Baseball players know it. But it's also true of basketball and football. So, because I was a play-by-play guy in the league in that Mountain West Conference when I was at San Diego State. And, of course, San Diego State's a sea-level team, and you would go up to, Colorado State or to Air Force or to Wyoming, and the coaches would walk you kind of through how things, like Steve Fisher would walk through the basketball. It's going to go just a little bit further when you're shooting like a foul shot. What would have been a swish, it's going to go just that much further. It can go off the back of the rim. So you got to kind of adjust to it just a little bit, and that's true of throwing a football. The ball can sail on you just a little bit more if you're not used to. You have to take just a hair off it. That comes down to a veteran being able to do that at altitude, to be able to take that hair off it so that it's just, something that would bounce off the fingertips versus being right in the hands. Because it does just sail on you a little bit. And that's something to keep in mind here, too.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that as it relates to throwing the football. I was thinking about it as it relates to kicking, where you can actually extend some field goals. And I know Zach Robinson mentioned he was actually at a game when he was a kid to see Jason Elam kick the record-tying field goal there. It's 63 yards, I believe it was at the time, when he made that one. So, yeah.
Another ended up being a great Falcons kicker as well.
That's
a good
right.
man, Jason. Yeah, right. The Broncos, let's go to their offense. Tough loss to the Chiefs. They're smarting, sort of like, we had a tough loss last week. Difference is they lost to a good team. 5-5, currently the number 7 seed in the AFC. They have designs to try to turn this around and make a serious run at a wild card. Bo Nix completing 64% of his passes this year. But here's the thing about Bo. One of the things about Bo. He's only had, since week 3, he's only had 3 interceptions. So he's really kind of developed into the Sean Payton system where he's not putting the ball in any harm's way here, okay? And so he also is the second, and we mentioned this earlier, second leading rushing quarterback in the entire NFL behind only Lamar Jackson. And trying to, you're going to have to, Jimmy Lake, make a decision. Are you going to run contain, or are you going to try and get after him? I don't know that the Falcons can't get after him anyway.
Right,
there's that. even if they decide, hey, we're going to go get after you. Good luck with that. So I think there's going to be a lot of contain here, trying to keep Bo Nix from getting outside the pocket and doing too much damage with his legs.
Yeah, if they don't sack him, it'll be, we were playing contain. We wanted to keep him in front of us, and we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, the quarterback and – getting him disrupted, throwing him off this rhythm. I mean, that is kind of the key for any defense that they want to do, but especially against a rookie, you feel like, you know, you have an opportunity to do that. And if you are able to kind of get him flustered, get in his head, even, you know, get him second guessing some things, then you're in a pretty good position. And when you talk about this Falcons offense going against this Broncos defense, or I'm sorry, the opposite way, it's just the Broncos are just, while the defense is special, and the offense is promising, this is clearly an area where the Falcons have a chance to kind of take advantage of this game. Now, having said that, we talked about in the injury report, they're going to be without several cornerbacks, so, and several defensive players, linebackers. Troy Anderson's not going to play a part in this one, so you are going to be shorthanded on that side of the ball, but there are opportunities. I mean, Denver's 24th in yards per game. They're about 25th in EPA per play. So it's for as good as we've talked about the defense, the offense is middling at best. But like you said, the thing is, they're getting better over the last month. Especially, there's been more to the arsenal of what they're able to show, what Bo Nix is doing, and the depth of field that he's throwing instead of just kind of being a pure screen merchant like he was early in the year.
Of course, Nix with his feet can beat you, and then you have a running back by committee up there with Javonte Williams, and there's some chatter about Audric Estime, the former Notre Dame star, who's a rookie this year, getting a little bit more of the workload there in Denver, and kind of igniting their running back room a little bit. If there's an area, you know, notwithstanding what we've done on, you know, with the kicking game last week, there's an area of the Falcons that has been most frustrating to me. It's not been the pass rush. It's been between the tackles run defense.
Yeah.
That's been the most frustrating and confounding thing, because when you look at the player personnel, you know, now I know this week you don't have Troy Anderson, but when you look at the Grady Jarretts and the, you know, Onyemata's of the world, and you're going, hey, listen, you know, I know that Aurora has, you know, had been spotty a little bit this year because of, you know, just being a rookie and some injuries. But you would think that the Falcons would be okay. And they get their doors blown off, it seems, at times. Right up the middle, they're like, hey, hand it off, and nobody gets touched till 4 yards down the field.
Yeah, it's not good either when, like, it's so purely evident to everyone watching the game that so often the Falcons' interior kind of gets washed away. And you can just see the linebackers also kind of take the brunt of that. Like, they get linemen are kind of getting blown in back into the linebackers, and there's just space for runners to run before they even get contacted. You know, they're downfield before they even get touched by a Falcons player. So, yeah, you got to try to prevent that. And I'll be interested to kind of see the way that Jimmy Lake devises his rotations in this game for a couple of reasons. One is because of, you know, the injuries that we talked about. They're going to be without Taquan Graham, who is a key rotational player. James Smith-Williams, obviously, going to be out. And you know, you're getting some players back, Lorenzo Carter potentially, Khalid Kareem, who played well against the Saints. But the other reason I'm interested in it is because of what we've been talking about with the altitude. And you would think that if there's any players who are going to kind of be sucking wind in this game, it's probably those defensive linemen who typically rotate a lot anyway, more than other positions on the field. And when you're in these kinds of conditions, I would think that you're going to see even more rotation. So with that in mind, do we see more Zach Harrison on the inside? Do we see Brandon Dorlus make his first appearance as a Falcon? Do we see, you know, he hasn't even made a game day roster at this point. I would think that he's going to make the game day roster, and if he does, I would think that we will see him. And so how many snaps does someone like him get? I think it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of make up for some of these players they're going to be missing on defense, especially.
Talking, of course, about the Atlanta Falcons of the Denver Broncos, a 4:05 kick in Denver, 4:05 our time, 2:05 in Denver today. Weather expected to be nice, mid-50s, light winds, which, you know, you can never count on in Denver. So that certainly, bad weather always suits the Broncos, okay? It always suits the home team because they practice in it. They're used to it. You're not, you know, so you have to deal with a lot of elements that are unfamiliar to you, especially when you're, you know, a dome team, for lack of a better term. I know Mercedes-Benz is not a dome, but for all intents and purposes,
it
acts as one. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not a dome, but kind of a dome. It's different up in the elements there. So we'll see what they have planned in store here. And I would imagine the Falcons to win this game. Everything says this is going to be a grinded out game again. Yep. We're going to get another one of those, Joe.
Yep, absolutely.
Don't miss Koo.
Right. Yeah, please.
Yeah, right. All right, we're taking you to the network coverage top of the hour in the pregame show as we continue counting down to kickoff in Denver on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
can't have a game without a tailgate party.
Perfect. There you go.
The Wait Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wait Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
The Wait Ford Tailgate Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wait Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by the W Sauce, the official sauce of our tailgate. Bigger, better, bolder. Visit WSauce.com today. Find a retailer near you. John Fricke, Joe Patrick, taking you for another few minutes here to the top of the hour in the network coverage of the pregame show. Let's update you on the 1 o'clock games that are in progress, Joe, here. Packers lead the Bears early second quarter in Chicago. Bears with the ball at midfield. Packers are up 7-3 in that game. It is early second quarter in Detroit, where the Lions have beaten the Jaguars today to go to 9-1. It's 14-3, and it really hasn't been. It hasn't even been that close.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of that. It was kind of silly how easily the Lions are able to score.
Yeah. So Vikings have a 7-3 lead on the Titans late first quarter in Nashville. Dolphins have a 7-3 lead over the Raiders, and we will see the Raiders right after the bye. With about 4 minutes into the second quarter there in Miami. Patriots have gotten on the board first early second quarter. They lead the Rams 7-0 in New England. The Saints are ahead of the Browns 7-6 down in the swamp late first quarter. Browns scored a touchdown, went for two. Why? Yeah, Jameis Winston was called for intentional grounding. Yeah, he's back there, you know. Yeah, okay. So, they went for two for some reason and missed it, and they're down 7-6. I guess the Browns are like, yeah, screw it. We got nothing else to lose. Let's just go for two.
You know? Yeah.
Why not, you know? Anthony Richardson has run it in from 3 yards out, and the Colts have a 10-0 lead over the Jets in New York early second quarter. Steelers have an early 3-0 lead over the Ravens. And the Ravens, by the way, Tucker missed a field goal. And it was not a long one either.
He's missed two. I've got him at over two on field goals today. Yeah.
And that doesn't happen very often.
They going to cut him?
We'll take him.
That was a lot of the conversation. That was a lot of the conversation going around Younghoe Koo lately. So I mean,
you want to cut him? Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure you know he's only one of the two.
There'd be a long line of teams
in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, but the part of the problem is if you think about it historically, we are spoiled.
Oh yeah, totally.
As Atlanta Falcons fans, when it comes to kickers,
totally. Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you go from two of the greatest of all time, and Matt Money and Morton, and in between them, Jason Elam. We have had great kickers on this franchise. I mean,
yeah,
back to McLuckhurst.
I mean, right.
I mean, we've had great, you know, we go back a long way with great
as far in my lifetime, for as long back as I can remember as a Falcons fan, really, there's only been like a short stint of, a couple
Giorgio
years,
DeVecchio.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Yep. That was really the only time that they've been in trouble at that position at all for the better part of like 30 years.
Yeah, Giorgio DeVecchio was a character, a really good guy.
Yeah. Great story.
But cool story, bro. You know? But we got to kind of move on. Anyway, old school Falcons fans, the Falcons once, they were so poor at kicking that before a Monday night game against Philadelphia, literally like on a Thursday or something, they had no kicker. And they went, oh, my God, what are we going to do? So they called a bar. I'm not kidding you. They called a bar in Philadelphia and talked to the bartender and said, hey, are you free? And they brought the bartender in for the Monday night game. The guy was tending bar in Philadelphia. His name was Tim Mazzetti.
Wait, is this not the plot of the garbage picking, field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon?
And so he comes in and kicks five field goals on Monday Night Football to win the game.
Oh wow! Holy cow! That's awesome.
Tim Mazzetti, one of those great stories.
That's a classic name too for a kicker. You just get off the scrap.
Yo, Mazzetti.
Tim Mazzetti. You know, Mazzetti, you're in. Yeah.
Mazzetti. You know, I mean, he belongs to Tulsa King or something. I don't know. Something I got here. What do you expect today? I mean, this is going to be my biggest concerns today are slowing Bo Nix and his ability to convert third downs. But the Falcons defense does not get off the field. So Bo Nix being able to, you know, extend drives with his feet is a concern for me. And then the Falcons being able to not let that pass rush overwhelm them. And those are my two biggest concerns.
Yeah, you're so spot on, John, with this defense has just not been able to create enough like negative or zero yardage plays against opposing teams. And what that ends up doing, the result of that is a lot of first downs, a lot of time spent on the field, exactly like you said. And now with the modern special teams rules, where the kickoffs and touchbacks are and everything, that results in points, frankly. Your teams are only about 30 yards out of field goal range nowadays, typically, when they're taking over. So, yeah, that's definitely a key. John, what I'm looking for the most in this game is to see how the Falcons just come out from the jump. How they look, are they effective? How well are they able to move the ball in their first possession? They really have not done that very well so far this year. I think from my count, they've only had 3 opening drive touchdown scores, and 2 of them were against the Buccaneers. The other one was against the Chiefs at home way back in week 3. And they haven't really done it much recently. The only recent game is that last one against the Bucs, and they've played some other, not so great teams like the Panthers and the Saints, where they're just not getting off to that hot start that they want. So how are they able to execute offensively early? But then also just how do they look? Like, how much of a physical presence do they bring to this game right off the get-go? I think that's going to have a large, be a telling factor in how competitive they're going to be over the 4 quarters of this game.
It'd be great. The bye is coming up next week, of course. The Falcons had a late bye, which at the beginning of the year I thought was going to be a very good thing for them. I now kind of wish maybe the bye had come just a hair bit earlier, a couple of weeks earlier. Normally I'm a big fan of the late bye, but boy, the Falcons could really use a chance to heal up. And again, you mentioned, if you're just joining us, the injury list for the Falcons is long, especially in the secondary, with no D. Alford, no Antonio Hamilton, no Mike Hughes, no Troy Anderson again, Taquan Graham, James Smith Williams, JT Bertrand. So Falcons are kind of dinged up here, and you mentioned it, the untold thing here is, in a game where you're going to have to run the ball effectively, Charlie Werner has been the unsung kind of catalyst here in his ability to go into motion and make second level blocks and spring players. His loss will be noticeable.
Yeah it will be. And so I do wonder if maybe there's even a modified type of game that they run without him, where they do a little bit more maybe some screens to Bijan, that kind of thing, but just like some quick things to get Bijan into space where he can then, I said it earlier in the show, but he's second in the NFL in forced missed tackles after the catch. So maybe there's an area for the Falcons to potentially exploit, but either way, I feel like you're going to need to have options for Kirk Cousins to get the ball to with this defense, and you just got to keep this defense off balance. If you get this defense, this Broncos defense, in a position where they know the pass is coming, there are not many worse teams that you want to face with that. And the Falcons have already gotten a taste of that this year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who absolutely, ate the Falcons offensive line's lunch in that game, especially Caleb McGarry really struggling with T.J. Watt in that one. But that's not where the Falcons want to be, so they've got to maintain some modicum of balance, even if it's not necessarily rushing yards, but just getting Bijan involved and having him be a focal point for that Broncos defense.
Be interesting if the Falcons can do anything vertically in this game. I'm not expecting them to be able to do much, because I just don't think that Kirk's going to have a whole lot of time to be able to go vertical down the field against this Broncos defense.
It's going to be interesting to see who Patrick Surtain covers, because typically he is a guy who they will match him up against the best receiver and have him shadow him all game, travel around the field with him, and just essentially eliminate that receiver. And I'm interested to see if they would who the Broncos choose to place him on, whether that is Drake London or whether it's Darnell Mooney, who typically has maybe better production against man coverage style defenses like we're seeing this Denver Broncos team play. So I think that will be telling.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Wrap it up here in a moment. Take it to the network coverage. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson, top of the hour. 4:05 kick in Denver today. Falcons and Broncos right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You get beat, make sure that they know that we're going to line back up, or you're going to have to beat me again.
Getting you ready for today's game.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcons and Denver Broncos today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke, Joe Patrick wrapping up the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, taking you to the top of the hour here in about 4 or 5 minutes with Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson, call of the game, Wes and Dave, 4:05 kick in Denver, and then the Falcons flyover with Rob Tribble after the game, where you can discuss what's going to be taking place today. David Carr just got a credit for a 71-yard touchdown pass. He actually threw it about 6 yards, maybe 5. Marcus Valdez scantily caught it over the middle for a 5-yard gain, and then nobody in Cleveland bothered to tackle him for the other 66 yards.
Valdez Scantling is going to go in the Saints Hall of Fame if he keeps this up, the way he's been playing these last couple weeks. He's got some playing time.
14-6 Saints over the Browns right now. Second quarter down in the swamp. Colts have gone up 13-0 over the Jets in New York, and the Boo Birds are out big time for Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Maybe it wasn't Robert Saleh.
No kidding. I'm just saying.
Maybe it wasn't the head coach. So, again, today, Joe, the bye is coming up, and not to look forward, but let's just briefly with, you know, we look forward to the final stretch after the bye, which originally when we were looking at the schedule said, okay, that's kind of manageable. And now you've been talking about a team like the Chargers with that great defense. You're talking about a team like the Vikings. You're talking about a team like the Commanders. It's not quite as manageable. The Bears are no longer, you know, a total joke. This is not as, you know, I mean, this is going to be a slog and a fight, and this is why I hope last week doesn't come back to bite you here in terms of this. You got to get to 9 wins. I think if you can get to 9 wins, you win the division. If you get to 10, you certainly do. But if you get to 9, I think you can win the division. I think 10 locks the division down. So let's see if the Falcons can't somehow manage to sneak away a win, go into the trap, take over the trap, and bounce back, because they have shown the propensity. The one good thing here, I think, is that they have shown a propensity to be able to bounce back from adversity this season. Let's hope they do so again.
Yeah, they really have. That's a great point, John. And it's a tough game. You know, we've said it before, but the Broncos are favored in this game. If the Falcons win, it will be, you know, technically termed an upset win, which goes to show the quality of the opponent they're facing. But I kind of tend to think that if this team is winning at halftime, then they're going to win this game, because this defense has been a different animal in the second half so far this year. It seems like every game it's kind of been like that, maybe except for one or two. So there's another reason for wanting to get out to a hot start and grab a lead early in this one.
Yeah, and when Kirk Cousins gets angry, that you know, and he was angry because, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on Coop, but that offense did not play. They played terrible in the second half of that game last week.
The
offense was awful. Yeah. You can blame Coop all you want. Go look at the numbers that the offense put up. Well, at one point, it was like 5 minutes ago, and they had like 7 yards in the second half or something like that. You know, like, oh, my God.
John, speaking of that second half, another key for the Falcons in this one is not have those catastrophic turnovers. If Kirk Cousins is getting sacked, he's got to be able to hold on to that football. You know, he's got to just take the sack, go down. Hopefully have some anticipation that the sack is coming, again, if worse comes to worse, and just not give up that catastrophic turnover that can really change the flow of the game.
And vice versa. I mean, Jesse Bates we know about, but Justin Simmons against his old team, stepping in front of one from Bo Nix, I mean, that would help too. So let's see if the Falcons can win the turnover battle. That might be a really, you know, it's one of those turnover field position things too.
So definitely. It'll
be
definitely
really interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Joe. My thanks to Joe Patrick. My thanks to Noel White, our executive producer. Stand by for the Falcons and Broncos as we take you to the network coverage of this afternoon's game in Denver, Colorado. This has been the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.